I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. And the main verse that I really want to focus on is verse 5. It says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. In our walk with God, there really is no magic formula. There's no bells and whistles, no smoke and mirrors, nothing special. It's just God is looking for people who will really believe him. So much so that they act like they believe. Amen? They act like Jesus heals. They act like God is a miracle worker. They act like God hears and answers prayer. They act like God is alive and well and doing miracles in the earth. They act and God acts. Now, you have to admit, first of all, that God is a sovereign king. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. He doesn't need us. He doesn't need anything. But he chooses us. He chooses to use us. That's amazing. Don't you think that's amazing? Some of you, anyway.
Amen.
Let's really believe that he chooses us, that he wants to use us. Let's believe that the same God that worked through Moses, that worked through David, that worked through Paul, and all the others in the Bible and in history, that he wants to work through you like he did through them. With the same amount of power. Maybe even more. Yeah? More. Miracles give evidence to the fact that Jesus is alive, that he's powerful, that he's real, that nothing is impossible for him. And we are an assignment from God to bring people into the presence of Jesus. We're an assignment from God to bring them into the miraculous presence of Jesus. Think about this. God eliminated the limits. How far can you go in the things of God? It's completely up to you. It's not up to Jesus. It's not up to the Father. It's not up to the Holy Spirit. And it's certainly not up to the devil. How far can you go? It's up to you. Let me remind you of this. There's no greater power. No greater power. I'm going to say that again. No greater power than the Holy Spirit. He is the greatest power on earth and in heaven and everywhere else. And you know, we saw, I think a couple weeks ago, I talked about Jesus when he returned to heaven. He left the greatest gift that he could give the church. He left us the Holy Spirit. I found this paraphrase of what Jesus said, and I just thought I'd read it because it just struck me as good. Jesus said, I give you the same power that was manifested in my life on the earth. The same power that was manifested in my ministry. You've seen the miracles. You've seen the demonstration of supernatural power. Now I'm going away, but I'm not leaving you powerless. As a gift, I'm giving you, my own church, the same power that was mine while I walked the earth. He's giving you the Holy Spirit. Most assuredly, it says in John 14:12, Jesus says, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, you will do. Amen. That was paraphrased, but, and greater works than these will you do, because I go to the Father. So are you believing? This verse says, he who believes in me, are you believing? Then you can do the works. Thousands of Christians world today are not believing. They're living defeated, powerless lives, but we don't want to be those people. Amen? Now, let's go back to that verse in John chapter 15, verse 5. I want to call your attention to a phrase in that verse. In John 15, 5, the last phrase says, "For without me, you can do nothing." That phrase just gripped my heart this week as I was preparing for this message. For without me, you can do nothing. It's a pretty solid phrase. I mean, no questions there, no guessing about it. You don't have to wonder, well, does that mean nothing? I think it does. I think it means really does really mean nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. Jesus said of himself in John 5:19. Then Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly I say, the Son can do nothing of himself." Jesus was in the same boat as you are. Jesus said, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, whatever he does, the Son does in like manner. Wow. The life that flowed from the Father to the Son was the Holy Spirit. And the life that flows from the branch, from the vine to the branch, is the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. When I think how many times a day goes by, that I realize that I haven't really made much of a connection with Jesus, I mean with the Holy Spirit, I say, ouch. Because the first words out of my mouth in the morning should be, Holy Spirit, what do you want to do today? I'm following you. And the last words I say at night should be, Holy Spirit, it was a good day. Thank you for leading me. And in between, I should have a constant communication with the Holy Spirit. What are you doing? What do you want me to do? All kinds of communication. Lead me today. He wants to have communion with you. He wants to course correct your steps everywhere you go. He wants you to follow him. There's more of God available to you, more of his presence, more of his power, more of his glory, more of his character, more of his kindness. So much more do you want to experience? There's always more in God. So how do you experience more? It has everything to do with your relationship with the Holy Spirit. It has everything to do with that. It's not about being some great and unique man or woman, specially talented abilities, all that great stuff, having some miraculous divine touch. It has everything to do with the presence of the Holy Spirit. Everything to do with him. So, here's the question that begins your journey. How filled with his presence are you willing to be? I'm going to give you a thrilling invitation of what could be possible in your life today. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. I think about it like this. I'm really not very gifted in music. I mean, I could sing up here a little bit, but you wouldn't like it. Stuff like that. And even more, when I come in here and try to play the piano when no one's around, it doesn't sound real great. No. And without my knowing it, one day Mozart came in and sat in the back when I was doing that. Now this is just a story, so you can put any musician you want in there. But the poor man was in so much pain from listening to my music that he walked to the front and he said to me, "I would like to help you. I have a power that no one else knows about. I can transmit my ability to you to play. All you have to do is look at me and be fixed on me and you'll be playing fine." And I thought, wow. Suddenly I got a great idea. I thought, we'll do it on Sunday. So I made sure that the pianist was gone that day. He's gone today, in fact. And I sit down at the piano. Now Mozart comes in, and he says, "I'm not going to play. I'll just sit here." And so I humbly sit down with the piano, and as long as I look at Mozart, I play wonderfully. My keys just, my fingers just fly over the keys, and I just play beautifully. And the audience, you guys are all awed by it. You would be awed, you, I can tell you that. Nobody has ever played like that in Lighthouse Church. And I start feeling pretty good about myself. As long as, so I begin looking at the people and seeing their awed faces and the cheers that begin to erupt. And suddenly, my ability is gone. And so often, we make the mistake, the same mistake. We fail to keep our eyes on Jesus through the Holy Spirit, and our ability evaporates. So I need you to do something with me. I want your imagination turned on. Okay? I want your imagination turned on. I want you to imagine with me for a moment that you're sitting in a nice sunny grape arbor. Can you see that? Close your eyes. See the grape arbor. See the vine of the grape, the branches. Just see it. But remember that the picture that it represents is that Jesus is the vine and you are the branches. The fruit is growing on the branches. And one more thing that's included in the picture, but you can't see it, and that's the sap that flows through the vine, onto the branches, and into the grapes. The grapes, the fruit, there might be, we might consider those like the signs and wonders and miracles, the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, all of those things that could be the fruit. Now you're sitting in this grape arbor, and your job is observation. So I want you to think about what you see there. You see the vine. It's strong and secure, solid, powerful vine. It's bristling with power and life. And you see the branches. They're flexible, but they're attached to the vine. They're healthy, they're alive, and they're solidly attached. And they're flexible, but they're attached. And you see the grapes. They're attached to the branches. And you notice that the grapes are lush, they're juicy, they're full of flavor. And you see that, you can imagine the sap that's flowing through the vine, into the branches, into the grapes. And it's pulsating with divine power. It's sticky and flowing freely. The first thing I want you to observe is the connections. The connection between the vine and the branch is a solid connection. The wind blows, it rains, and stuff like that, and the branch is not disconnected. It stays connected to the vine. It's pretty solid. But then, if you look at the connection a little bit down the branch, you see the bunch of grapes growing. And the bunch of grapes grows on the branch, but there's not a very good connection there. It's easily harvested, easily picked. That fruit can be given easily to anyone. Now, when you're looking at the arbor, you realize that the main purpose of the vine is to grow grapes, right? There's no other reason for the vine to be there, because to grow grapes. But if you saw a vine and it didn't have any grapes, what would you think? A pretty unproductive vine. We should just cut it up. Yeah. But you also notice that while the vine has everything necessary to grow grapes, it doesn't grow any grapes on itself. It wants something to grow the grapes on, an intermediary. And we call those things the branches. And so you're looking at this. Now, if you could see the inner workings of that branch, you would see that it's trying to draw from the vine. It's saying, open up, vine. Give me what I need to grow grapes. Come on, vine, pour some sap into me so that I can produce them. Come on, let's get with the program. What's going on, vine? I'm asking you again, give me some sap. That's not what you'd really see. The only job of the branch is to be in a position to grow grapes. It can't make the vine, it can't make the vine give anything up. It's saying, in fact, thank you, vine, for the sap, for the sap that's flowing through me. It feels so good when it flows through me. I just love it. Thank you that you're growing grapes on me. I'm just at rest in you as you're growing grapes on me, producing fruit. That's pretty obvious. The branch doesn't have any responsibility, really, in the picture, except to be a conduit for the sap from the vine to the grape. Just a conduit. When the branch is connected to the vine, fruit production is automatic. It just happens. The branch just has to be connected and it will produce fruit. Too often we look to a formula for our faith to be connected. We try to make fruit show up instead of simply being a branch. You ever done that? We don't allow the vine to do the work. Essentially, we need to be instead of do in the picture. So often, it's the opposite. But the formula for experiencing the supernatural is simple. Be a branch and stay connected to the vine. If you stay connected to the vine, fruit will come. It's the automatic response. Now imagine that you're looking at the same picture of the vine and the branches and the grapes, but imagine that there's a disconnection between the vine and the branch. Maybe it's severed completely. Maybe it's laying on the ground. What's the result of that? You think he's going to produce any grapes? No, because he's disconnected. There's no sap flowing. There's no life flowing. There's no fruit. But that's not really our focus this morning. We're focused on attached branches, okay? So imagine, if you will, that each of these attached branches has a steel band around it. Right around it. And picture this. Every branch on the vine has a steel band around it. Branches have bands around them, and they're all different kinds. All different sizes. And they produce different results. Because the enemy is so deceptive. He says the bands are put there to help shape you and develop you. Sounds good. He tells us to believe that the branches are, He tells you to believe that the bands on the branches are there for your identification, for your value. All kinds of different brands. I remember once when I was first become a Christian, I went to my home church and I told the preacher there what happened to me, how the Lord had shown up on the field on a tractor, and I was saved. And he said to me, that doesn't really happen to people in our church. If you go across the street, you'll find a church that it does happen to. He had a band around him that decided this is the way it is. In reality, the band just cuts off the flow of sap. Just cuts it off. The band makes it so you don't have enough sap for the gifts of the Spirit, or you don't have enough sap for fruit of the Spirit. Maybe it's a little tighter, and you have a band that says, "Well, I can come to church once a month, and that's enough." Bands can be external, they can be internal. Peer pressure or inner doubts. Bands are put there to limit us. The enemy is really behind those bands. They don't appear like it on the surface, but he's really behind them. He's there to restrict us, to limit us, to hold us in check, to keep us in line, to keep us hiding behind a lie that we think is truth. Let me ask you a question. If you have two branches on the vine growing, and one of them has a band around it, and one of them doesn't, which one will grow healthier and bigger? Right? The one without the band. And what tightens that band, what makes it strength? It's when we buy into the thoughts of man instead of the thoughts of God. You have to test the doctrines of everything that happens. Every church you are part of, you need to test its doctrines against the Word of God. You need to test the teachings of this church against the Word of God. Everything in life, I mean everything in life, has to be tested against the Word of God. It's the only truth we have. The Word is the truth. It's the only place that we find truth, absolute truth. And so we have to set aside all those things that do not align with the Word of God. Break off the lies. Break off all the branches. The things, the bands around our branches. Can you imagine from a vine such as Christ, what powerful fruit must come? Being branches in him, what fruit must we produce? There can be nothing scanty or poverty-stricken or anything when it comes from a vine that is so full of sap. The power of the Holy Spirit is the sap in the vine. Because without me, he said, you can do nothing. But with me, watch out. With me, watch out. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I told you at the beginning of the message that I would give you four questions. I'm going to do that now. The first question is, Holy Spirit, would you lead me today, direct my steps? Lead me, Holy Spirit, in the way I should go. Every day I ask him, be a lamp to my feet, be a light to my path. I only want to go where you go. I only want to do what you're doing. Lead me today. The second question, Holy Spirit, I need your help in this situation. You could just say, I need your help. But I want you to make it more specific. Lord, I want your help in the situation that I'm facing right now. This very moment. I need your grace. Maybe I need your protection. Maybe I need your guidance and direction. Maybe I need your provision. Maybe I need your strength. I need your help in this situation today. What good plans do you have for me? And the third question is, Holy Spirit, how do you want me to be? What are you doing for this person? As you walk through the day, maybe the Lord highlights a person to you, and you think, wow, that person, the Lord's really on them. Or however you picture that. The person that you're highlighting to me right now. Is it salvation that you're wanting to do for them? Is it healing? Is it healing in the mind, the body, the soul? Is it deliverance? Is it freedom? Is it hope? What good plans do you have for them today? What are you doing in this person? You're highlighting them to be for a reason. So then the fourth question is tied into that one. Holy Spirit, how do you want me to be involved? I'm willing to do what you want me to do. Direct my steps. Do you want me to just pray quietly for them? Should I pray with the person? Holy Spirit, if I speak to the person, you have to give me the words. Do I need to exercise authority in their lives? Can I speak healing over them? How about ministering deliverance? What should I do for that person right now? And then when he answers you, guess what? Do it. Do it. The power lies with the Master, with the Holy Spirit, not with the servant. It's with the might is in his hand and not in the sword. It's not in the weapon. We must have Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives every moment of every day. Holy Spirit, what are you doing today? What are you doing for this person? That's what we need. Would you stand with me?